Welcome back to Masters of Modern. I am your host, now the MM Cast, but I am your host at Kets Wiley, Alex Kessler, here with my co-host at Ben Bateman Media, Ben Bateman.
You stumbled and you thought about starting us over. There was a brief moment you like thought about it. I could see it. I could hear it in your heartbeat. And then you were like, nope, I'm going to go right through this. We're going to just do that intro. And that's okay. You know what, buddy? It is okay.
We don't have to. Have to do the Twitter shoutouts, everyone. People now know. I said it already. That's where you can find me on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Twitch, all the, not YouTube, YouTube or the MM Cast. Hopefully you're watching this right here.
I hope so. Yeah. And if you guys happen to watch this week, our little Modern Weekly segment that we're doing now, where we're giving you guys 10 minutes of what's going on in the modern world. We just started doing it. Go check it out. It's on the YouTube channel right now. You guys can hear a whole breakdown of why the card Uro needs to be banned in modern. That's already been covered. But today we aren't talking about modern. We're talking about historic. We're talking about the historic economy. What is so hard about historic? Why it's such a difficult format to wrap your brain around, wrap your hands around, and really invest starting from zero. Historic's difficult to get into, and we wanted to break it down for you guys as to why.
Well, honestly, I think if just Magic players stopped buying avocado toast, that the Magic economy on Arena would be fine. And anyone who is complaining, just too much avocado toast. But jokes aside, we are talking about historic today, and we're super hyped to do so. If you might notice, we're going back to kind of once a week videos for now, where we're trying to make like additional video content. We'll see what we can do. That modern video, the redo of the Masters of Modern was kind of an attempt to add some extra content. Please check out our Patreon. It helps us make that type of content, and it maybe we'll do more with your help. And extremely appreciate to our current patrons. But yeah, so what kind of started this conversation was just kind of a realization that even for us who have played Arena since beta, have been playing actively, I will put money into buying every set as it comes out, and like with a focus on historic, right? Like we knew like, okay, like likely with the Masters, with modern being put to the wayside due to the COVID, historic's a format that we're going to need to do. Even with Wizards very graciously like featuring us as streamers in September and giving us a bunch of free content and packs, like historic is very expensive to keep up with and to do anything on. And the way that like the economy works, and as they add more sets, like feels untenable for this format to really survive, or really more importantly to add new players. Like it's different than modern or pioneer or legacy or even vintage, where like when my cards rotate into the older format, they are the beginning collection to other cards that I can buy directly on the secondary market to build decks. And then those cards can also then either accrue value or at worst case be sold at a slight discount to the value I put into them to buy other cards, trade for other cards, or, you know, just cash out. And so like modern makes sense, right? I can put $5,000 into modern. I mean, like over time, I can't afford that. But a person can, and then sell out for $3,000, right? Or sell out.
Yeah, generally speaking, if you buy Magic cards that are premium, if you're buying cards that are in high demand that have a high value, and you want to cash out and get rid of those cards, you understand that if you want to do it quickly, you're selling to a dealer, right? So when I got my guitar and I cashed out like $3,000 in cards, or you know, the value on paper of those cards was closer to five, right? That's as little as like high fours. And so, you know, you bought a few of them from me because there were some cards you wanted that I was like, this is the price that the dealer is going to pay if you want them for that price. And it's a bummer when you do that, because you know, I spent $120 for like an Expedition Steam Benz at one point because I really wanted that card. When I sold it, I got like 70 for it or something, or 65 or whatever it was, right? It's a disappointing thing to do, but you're still able to do it.
And if you wanted to spend the month posting them on eBay and waiting for the eBay listings to close, you can probably get closer to actual value, but you're able to recoup some of that cost. And that cost you're recouping doesn't take into account the money you made through entertainment value, right? Like you spent multiple hours playing with these cards that cost you, you know, normally to watch a movie would cost you $15. So like your entertainment value from them, not to mention the accrued value of like, there's some of the cards you sold that were like Serum Visions. You got opened up in packs and they were free uncommons at the time. And then 10 years later, they're worth money. So like I think that the value of cards you own in paper are more flexible. They're a flexible income sink.
And they're also spaced out over time, right? Like, I think about, again, the exchange I just made to sell so much of my collection. And I have very few memories like that Steam Vents. In fact, that Steam Vents was the single most expensive single card I think I had ever purchased in my entire life in Magic. I don't really buy expensive cards. I borrow them from friends, right, if I need them. And generally speaking, I like to buy the cheapest version of the card that I can play with. Sometimes I want to get, like, one card that I really like. But mostly it's I buy packs or I draft, or I buy a single at a tournament that I need for the deck I'm going to play, right? And so over years and years, all the play experience, all that time and energy that strings together creates this memory of your life playing Magic. And so when you go and you decide to sell your cards for less than you paid for them, it doesn't really matter because it's almost like getting free money on some level. Right. You slowly but surely built that collection over the years. It's not like you just dumped $5,000, now you're going to take three for it the next week. Like, that's not what the exchange is.
Right. Like, the money I spend on Magic, I'm not spending it being like, I'm going to remake this back. I'm spending it knowing, but I probably have a higher Magic budget than I would, knowing that worst case scenario, rainy day fund, I could sell all of this.
Yes.
Or worst case scenario. Yeah. But the other part of that is you can transition pieces, right? Like, I can buy into Jund and say Jund gets bad in the metagame, like it regular. The Jund's a bad example because the Jund player is going to Jund the rest of life. I could buy into Grixis Death Shadow or Death Shadow, and I know that, like, this might fall out of the metagame. But at that moment, some of my cards are obviously transitionable to other decks, but other ones are sellable to or tradable to other players to trade for other cards I need for the new deck. Say I want to go from Death Shadow to Jund, right? I can trade my Kroxas or my random, like, Death Shadows and get the different pieces I need to make Jund happen, right? Get Bloodbraid Elves or whatever, get Renin Sixes, or I can spend a little bit of extra money to do that. And so my cards transition to different formats and different decks I'm playing a lot more easily. And we are explaining all of this because it doesn't work that way on Arena.
Yeah, well, I think with Arena, you know, there have been digital TCGs that have tried to do it a little differently. Hearthstone, I think you could dust, right? You could dust your cards and you could turn them into other cards. And I think probably that Magic has considered this. They've probably thought about ways to do that and to accommodate. You know, they wouldn't want to just give you money back at a lower rate. They'd want to have you sort of trade it into other cards to keep you playing. That's what the way it would be set up to be done. But the real problem here is that it's a clumsy and sloppy way to have to get into a new format on Arena. That's that. Like, if you want to play Historic, the thing I noticed, and I literally had this experience, right? Like, 2 months ago, it was late at night. It was 1 or 2 in the morning. I had, like, had a good time hanging out on Zoom with a buddy, had a few drinks in me. I was like, I'm going to play some. This is going to be fun, right? I was like, oh, man, well, this deck that I'm playing isn't that good, so I'm going to try to do this shenanigans thing. Oh, I'm going to play all these hate cards together combined with these sweet cards, and it's going to be this deck, right? It's like, oh, I don't have most of these cards. Okay, I've got, you know, 7 mythic wild cards. I've got, like, 11 rare wild cards. Okay, I can get most of the cards that I need with what I've got here. I'll have to skimp on a couple of them, but I don't want to spend a bunch of money on packs, so I'll burn what I have here, get as close as I can. Build the deck. It's absolutely horrible. It's not good at all. It loses pretty much every game I try with it. I get bored of playing it after an hour because I'm like, it's kind of fun, but, like, it's okay. This was a failed experiment. And I'm like, oh, wait, all my wild cards are gone now. That idea that I had, that fun idea to try to brew something clever, that just cost me all the flexibility that I have. If I want to get a bunch of wild cards, now I've got to grind for hours and hours and hours and hours on weeks and weeks and weeks. Or I have to spend like $200 just opening digital packs.
Right.
Just so
right.
I can get wild cards. I don't even care what's in the packs.
Magic is at its funnest, I think, for most players when they get to invent stuff, right? They get to brew a deck. They get to come up with something new. And that's not necessarily true of all players. Obviously, like, there are spikes. They're just like, I just want to play the best deck and I'm going to metagame and pick the best one. And a historic, just like Arena in general punishes brewing so heavily. To the extent that, like, our podcast, when we started kind of transitioning away from just Modern and doing all content, like, one of the issues we had running into Historic is just, like, it's a it's barren for brewing. It's like not a fun time to brew there, because the moment you come up with a deck, or the moment you've like gone through your wild cards to pick up something cool and wild and it's not good, you're just wasting your money. And I can't even physically feel comfortable recommending, hey, you should dump all your wild cards into this brew deck, because then that's wrecking someone. In modern, if I'm like, hey, Collected Company and Mirror Superior, go for it. Like, A, the cards that generally you brew with are cheap. Like, it is less money to buy a Mirror Superior than to buy a two tacos at Jack in the Box.
Mirror Superior is bad, so it's cheap. Collected Company is good, so it costs more. But you can get your money out of the Collected Company because it's a good card. And you don't care about spending 80 cents on four Mirror Superiors each because they're bad.
But on,
so like,
but on Arena, a Mirror Superior is as good as a dual land.
A Mirror Superior costs the same thing as a Collected Company, purely because they're both rares. Right. That's it. They just cost the same thing.
Right. So like, it just makes coming up with cool ideas less relevant there, which has kind of also negative metagame effects, right? Like, it means the metagame is just going to lean itself so much more to not just like net decking, but like the tier one deck, right? Like, I should not be investing in anything but goblins. Let's be honest. Like, that deck has been safe for years, or the red black sacrifice deck or whatever. And like, which means that the metagame is going to shift less because people aren't trying to do new things. Even when pros get their hands on the format, they don't want to test. They don't have like the resources to get new cards. So it creates this like format that's really, really hard for people to adjust into. And so it becomes very pillared to being kind of the exact same stuff all the time, which makes it less fun. So it's non-rotating. And then it's a card format that sucks banning stuff out of more than ever. Because if I were to say ban Uro, and people have a bunch of decks that Uro is the linchpin card of that deck, and without Uro, half of their cards don't work anymore because they're just Uro-centric cards, that's like 80 wild cards that are just like tanked out of my account. And so it's I don't know what I like. I look at Hearthstone, I think crafting, I look at other formats, like Magic has the problem that its cards are one-to-one meant to be related to real-world cards. Right.
Yeah.
My cards are supposed to be similar to Arena's price point. And so that's always going to be its challenge. It's the reason that banning cards is going to happen more often with Arena than other format, other games where they like will modify the card. On the other hand, like, there are things like what Hearthstone's crafting is similar to what you would do with Magic. Right. If I sell my Scalding Tarn that I bought at 80 for 40 or 60, that's literally just dusting something. It's I'm getting half value for a card that I paid for, and I can take two cards that I paid half value for and buy another one.
Right. Well, I do understand your comparison there of like dusting. Like, that makes sense to me, right? The idea that dusting a card, and for those that don't know in Hearthstone, what it is that you're basically just taking the things that you have, the cards that you have, you're able to dust them, you know, turn them into something of significantly less value that gives you then value to get the new cards that you do need. So yeah, it's
for, you know, like, every four cards you dust, you can buy a card of whatever you want. And that, like, rarities are more expensive, but the rarities of the cards you dust, you get different values of dust.
So that's, you know, that's similar to what you just said, selling a Scalding Tarn, but that only works with cards of a certain value, of a high enough value with real Magic cards, because if the card is worth 80 cents, a dealer's not going to buy it from you for 40 cents. They're going to buy it from you for a penny, maybe, if you're lucky. The card has to be worth $5, so they'll give you $2 or $2.50 for it. Like,
bulk is worth 5 cents, right? Like, you can sell a 1,000-count box of bulk for, what, $5, I think is what it is. Like, there's, like, standard rates for bulk cards in yes, a common is $5, but also when I open a pack for $3, I'm getting 15 cards versus Hearthstone where you get 6. So, like, the how much money you spent or how much money people spent to get the cards to exist is less per card in Magic, which is fine. Like, let dusting in Magic, let me dust all my commons and uncommons, or the redundant commons and uncommons I open up packs for a 15th of a card, and then the rares for half of a card, and the mythics for, you know, 2/3 of a card, right? Or whatever that translates. If we're talking about using the Hearthstone method, because the other option, which I think is, which is like the easiest way to get into Historic, maybe, is just let people buy wild cards.
Well, yeah, so that's what I was going to get at, right? So I think that there's two things to look at here. So the first one is that doesn't exist. You can't just buy wild cards, and that creates the problem. The big problem there is that you have to open these packs, and sometimes you get lucky and you open the rares that you want in the packs, but often you don't. So you end up with, you know, tons and tons and tons of these commons and uncommons, and on some levels rares you'll never play with that were the cost of a pack. The whole cost of that pack was that bad rare you're never going to play with. That all exists. The one thing I think that Arena does have going for it that is different than Paper Magic, though, is that if I make an Arena account right now and I go sign up, I'm going to get the little intro pack thing that they give me, a few packs. You get, like, you know, five packs or six packs or whatever. I get all, you give me a bunch of commons, you know, that all happens. And then there's a bunch of free pack codes. Every new set, there's one that comes out that you can get three free packs of that newest set. They make it available to you. It's on the backs of cards. If you just even just Google online, a lot of the old codes still work. You can just use them and they're fine with that. They don't seem to want to change it because they want you to get three packs or six packs or nine packs for free because it encourages you to play the game. So that's all good. And I'll tell you the thing that really blew my mind was when I was sitting there playing games of Highlander Arena Gauntlet, the version that we play with Eric, and I played six games and I looked down and I realized that I was getting gold for playing those games against my friend just for fun. We were just playing 1v1 for fun matches and I was getting gold that eventually amounted to packs. So I can't go to FNM and play six games of Modern against you and then walk out of there with a pack. That doesn't happen. I have to pay for the event to do that. I can't just casually show up and play Magic and they just give me cards. But Arena, if you're willing, just gives you cards for playing it for free.
Sure. And I think that's totally fine for Standard. And honestly, I think my, like, personal solution at the end does define these things differently. I think in Standard, Arena's great. I mean, obviously the problem with Standard on Arena is that Standard has to be fun. When Standard's not fun, that's a whole dilemma. And that's another layer to this issue, is like the way that Magic in real world, one of the reasons that this summer was so contentious is that Standard was bad and Arena Standard was the only real fun way to play Magic available, because Modern, Legacy, Commander, Vintage, Pioneer weren't available because there was no paper tournaments, and even Limited wasn't really available. So when the Limited was format was bad and Standard was bad, if you just had nowhere to go, right? There's nowhere to run to. And Historic, it had such a high barrier of entry at the time that was, like, kind of its big limitation. So for Standard, you're right. Earning, like, the fact that you can just play Arena and earn and play for free at that base level is totally correct and is totally a way to do it, though it is a grind, right? Like, the other thing is, for you to be able to play Magic in paper, you could just spend $15 and get to play, where in Arena, if you want to play for free, it costs you effort. And if you're not having fun doing that effort, then what's the point? But, like, the Historic problem is also just going to get worse, right? This is, like, rotation kind of proved it. Modern exists for a reason. Pioneer exists for a reason. Legacy exists for a reason. Historic exists for a reason. And that reason is when Standard rotates, Magic does better for those cards that are rotating to have a home outside of that format. The Magic economy and the player base needs, for it to be healthy, there to be a place for cards rotating out of Standard to retain value. And Modern exists for that reason. Modern exists for that reason. Pioneer was invented recently partially because Modern was so expensive to buy into that they needed a secondary format that let you use the cards from Standard that weren't seeing play in Modern, which was kind of a response to Ixalan Standard more than anything, where, like, none of those cards did anything. It ends up that then the following year after Pioneer was created, every single set that came out modified Modern so thoroughly that it hasn't looked the same for 3 years, but that's a different conversation. But if you wanted to jump into Historic right now, if you started an account, I can't even imagine. Like, I guess theoretically you'd have to get enough wild cards to buy a single deck, right? That's basically all you need, right? But you have to, none of the packs you're opening get you that, right? Like, you don't get to open packs or even buy packs that buy you Historic cards. You have to open exactly 60 wild cards.
Well, you don't necessarily need 60. And also on top of that, because what I've found when I'm building decks is, you know, you play and you play and you play, you get a bunch of gold. So then your gold gets you packs. And I go, okay, well, I've got this gold. I'm going to go buy 12 packs to get wild cards, but those 12 packs I'm going to buy, I want to have the highest likelihood to open the cards that I actually need. So then you look and you go, okay, well, there's the most rares missing from this set, so I'm going to buy all Amonkhet Remastered or whatever. And you also want to buy all the ones that are not the whatever the current standard set that they're giving you for playing games is. You want to buy all the ones that you don't ever get to open. So you only kind of want to buy the special sets.
But I know for sure you can't buy the master sets things, right? They stopped you are no longer able to buy like Master's Edition or historic remastered or whatever. The like 12 cards that got added to it.
Oh yeah. Could you ever buy those though? You
could
buy
those. The first three you could just buy. Not as packs. You just straight up bought each card. You got all of them for like $12. Oh. That was great, right? Like that's kind of my point. Like what I think they should do is I think they should sell historic wild cards. I think that's the answer to this problem. I think that's the answer to this problem in regards to if they do not want to drastically change the arena ecosystem, which I think at this point they don't. I think my personal recommendation and solution is for $4, you get a pack of wild cards that are only available to be spent on non-standard cards. They're like, you still have to, if you want standard cards, you got to buy standard packs. You got to do what you've been doing this whole time. Those will still get you wild cards that you can use on any card you want that are more valuable than these. But for $4, I get some amount of rares, some amount of uncommons, some amount of commons, and every four comes with a mythic rare, but only available to buy cards that are no longer in standard. It's kind of the best of both worlds, right? I can now invest in historic. I can now brew. If I'm like, you know what? For this podcast, I'm going to brew a cool Dune deck. I need 20 new cards. I'll buy five of these packs. That's $20. I now, $20 in, can now buy this deck added to the other, you know, the other cards I already own. And great, we're off to the races. And maybe I have to buy an extra one because I didn't get the mythic in the fourth one that I wanted to. Fine. But that at least puts me in a position where I can now buy older cards and people can invest and start building decks in older formats. Like people that kind of, to me, keeps historic more sustainable.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty fair point. I definitely think that there's an economic change that has to happen for this to be a long-term sustainable thing. And what's funny about it is I think historic is closer to being that sustainable long-term rotating format than they've had. I think modern was it for a long time in paper. It was a great format. I think like it still is awesome. We're in a little bit of a weird nexus point because of COVID. But I think modern was totally that format for quite a while. They had finally found their version of extended that they knew extended that they wanted to work, and people embraced it. And we had a whole podcast about it. And I kind of felt like Pioneer was almost going to be that, but it didn't quite become that. And historic kind of has the potential to be it. They just have to figure out a way to fix it so that people are drawn to it and want to invest in it.
And I think that's brewing, right? Like our podcast is the most successful modern podcast. I still think it actually is that. I mean, we still talk about modern and we're going to bring that back more, but is the most successful modern podcast. And our podcast was focused to some extent on coming up with cool, wacky ideas in the format, which I think is the most popular way people like to attack these older formats. People liked modern because forever it was a brewer's paradise. Every year, a weird deck won a GP or a Pro Tour, Lantern Control, Amulet Titan, Death Shadow. Like all of these decks were decks that like didn't exist or like were weird and different. And they did well because people brewed and come up with cool ideas. And historic and the way that the wild card economy is built does not encourage that. And I think that will always lead to the metagame becoming stale, which then will always lead to people either not wanting to play or Wizards having to ban cards, which will lead to people not wanting to play it. And I think that's the problem with historic and not being able to come up with cool ideas and not be extremely punished for it, which right now you are, is a problem. And I do think just like the same way in modern, if I brew a bad deck and maybe that deck's just not good enough, but some of the pieces I can use for another deck and I'm out maybe some amount of money. But I can recoup that money with money. I can buy other cards to keep playing the format. In Arena, if I buy into a deck that's bad, I'm wrecked. And I can't get in again until I spend way more money where most of the cards I'm going to be getting are standard only. Like, are cards that I'm never going to want to play with. So as a historic player, are no benefit to me. Or I'm just SOL until like I like grind enough matches to get enough wild cards. I don't think that's sustainable. I don't think that keeps historic popular or grows historic in a way that Wizards would want. And I think they need historic to be popular for all the reasons we discussed.
I was going to say, so right now as it is, what's the starter pack? If somebody comes to listening to this and like, I'm going to give historic a shot on Arena. I want to have fun with it. I don't really have a collection. what do I do? How do I start? Because I have ideas. I mean, I have the things that I would suggest you do.
I mean, straight up, I would buy in the goblins. I would dump enough money in, like, say, $100, like, look at which packs have, like, the most goblin cards that are relevant, that are rares to that deck existing, and then hope you get enough wild cards to buy into goblins. Like, if that has to be maybe the cheapest, I guess we can look.
You're talking about winning in Historic, and I think, like, to build the goblins deck, you need 4 Muxus, and you definitely need Krenko, and you definitely need like I think there's a bunch of rares you need for that deck. Even if you're just playing best of one, you still probably rares and mythics, you probably still need like 16 to 20 would be my guess.
I think Gruul Aggro is the deck. Even this has a lot of rares in it, actually.
It's there's not a good solution for like a premium deck you're going to be able to just like build straight off the bat. So what I would recommend to someone to do if they wanted to get into this thing is I would go, okay, like number one, Google free arena codes. Just Google it. There's a bunch of sites that list the free arena codes. Whatever the current set is, you'll have that. Plus, often you can go back as far as like 6 old sets and you just go type them in, gives you 3 free packs. So right off the bat, you'll be able to go and get yourself like 15, 18 packs probably, unless they fix it. But I don't think they're going to, because I don't think they want to. I think they want you to be able to get those packs because it gets you into the game. They're going to give you a few things. Go do all of the color challenges and all of those initial little like they're annoying because you're playing like commons and bad cards. But set aside an afternoon, try to knock out as many as you can. The more you do that, the more you're going to get gold, the more you're going to get free stuff. Set an amount of money. Probably, I would say you could probably get away with spending $50. I think like a $50 gem bundle gets you a lot of gems. You could even do it for like $20 if you don't want to spend a lot of money. And what I would do is pick either the thing you enjoy the most. So if you like playing limited, if you're a good limited player, like you draft really well, I would go and I would try to draft, win some games. You only have to win like 3 games to get your packs back, basically. So you're able to grind much more successfully than an actual FNM on a Friday night. Because like FNM on a Friday night, you're usually playing against some pretty good players. It's hard to win consistently. It's much easier to do it if you're playing on Arena. And then last but not least, I would go through the metagame decks at that particular moment. Right now, as you said, Black Red Sacrifice is good. Definitely the Goblins deck is very good.
So Goblins is bad. Because remember, cost doesn't matter. And that was what I was looking at. In paper, Goblins is cheaper than Black White Sacrifice. Black Red Sacrifice has 19 rares plus 1 in the sideboard for 20 rares. And 10 of those are the land. So only 10 rares outside of your mana base, which you could cheat on if you need to, not want to do Fabled Passages or whatever. And then it has 5 mythics, and that's it. Everything else is uncommons and commons. So for 25 rare slot wild cards and a bunch of uncommons and commons, you have a full competitive Historic deck. And this deck has also been competitive in Historic basically since the beginning. There are cards that fall in and out of favor in this deck that are good or bad, but nothing that you're investing here is bad, and you can always get other cards if you need them as time goes on.
So you can buy all the way back to what's the oldest set on here. So you can buy packs of Kaladesh Remastered, you can buy packs of Amonkhet Remastered, you can buy Ixalan, you can buy Rivals.
You can't buy double masters, and you can't buy
the Historic Remastered. Yeah, but you were never able to.
You can't buy the 2 packs that shuffle into 1 pack decks.
Jumpstart.
Yes. You can't buy Jumpstart packs, and you can't buy the historic like bundles that had 15 cards. You used to be able to buy those, but you no longer can. There's been 3. That's okay. Where like Fauna Shaman comes from and the cycle lands. Those are the ones you can't buy. Everything else, it sounds like if you can buy Ixalan, you can buy everything else.
Oh, look at that. You can get a fancy opt. So yeah, Google free codes. There's a bunch of cool stuff on there. Huh, look at that.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Like Black Great Sacrifice is the easiest entry point. There's other like value list you can look up, but that's like if you want it's Rakdos Arcanus is the deck I was talking about. There's a Jund Sacrifice deck that's more expensive. 20 wild cards, you're into Historic. If you don't like that strategy, though, then you're looking at something higher. If you want to change to something else, or you just don't want to play one of the top 5 best decks and you want to like try something cool and new, or if a card gets banned or the metagame shifts, you're just kind of SOL. And that's kind of where I'm at. And obviously this is me also looking in the future, right? Like right now it's tenable. It's not as bad as it could be, but I think this is a problem that gets worse over time. And I do think finding a solution is something that's needed for Historic in the long run because of the brewing problem. I don't think it's fun to make up decks in Historic, and that's a huge problem for Magic in general. That's the reason we play Magic. If I wanted to play games where people are like, here's the best deck, not even the best deck, here's a game board that you get to play with, and you have to choose this exact same one, that's because that's the best meta deck. That's not Magic. That's like, I don't know, chess or football, or I don't know, basketball game. It's like Madden, right? Like, here's your pieces. You don't get to change them. They're not interchangeable. You just get to play with the ones you have. There are board games that are like that. There's tons of them, but it's not
it's not customizable, collectible card game. I mean, that's the whole idea of Magic, is that it's a backwards compatible puzzle. They keep adding new add-ons to it. That's what makes it fascinating. It's why we've played it for our whole lives.
There are other solutions. Other games do it differently. There's some games that just let you straight up buy any card you want, right? Like, they just straight up just have a store. You can just spend real dollars on it. I don't think that's probably best for Arena. Hearthstone has its model. I think actually the Hearthstone model is probably one of the better ones. There's a reason that game was as successful as it was. I think that there's a few things from that, like Hearthstone, that I think Arena can take. The other one being, they have like fun drafts that are free. You like don't get any cards from it. You would just earn gems, but you could do like cube drafts and not keep the cards for minimal amounts of money, where Magic generally makes you spend a lot of money on those events. So there's like nothing you can do just to have fun unless you want to just like grind Standard if Standard is boring. Like, I think that's one of the problems Arena has, is when Standard is good, Arena is great. But if Standard is not good, there's not a lot of places you can run to an Arena that are fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a lot of work to create anything. Oh, wow. I just found a bunch of sweet codes. I'm just sitting here typing them in. A lot of them are cool. They're cosmetic. You can get a lot of free stuff. Fun. I'm having a good time.
If you tweet at Ben, at Ben Media, he will tweet you some of these cool codes.
Yeah, I just got some full art Zendikar lands. Those are pretty cool looking.
Nice. But yeah, so that's the first one. And then the second one is, yeah, like looking at ways that like make it easier. And I don't even like, I'm not even against, I understand Magic is a game you have to buy into. Like there are cheaper things and hobbies out there. I understand that Wizards just make money. And I think just if they were just like, here are wild card packs, I think people would eat it up and allow people to brew and allow people to come up with new stuff. And I don't think they would lose money, because I think right now people just aren't doing it. Right.
Don't you feel like, okay, so let's talk through this real quick. So uncommon and common wild cards are like, most people have an abundance of them. If you play Arena even for a little while, you get a lot. I mean, maybe they would need to find a way to sell them like a pack, but like,
if you drop $200 into Arena, you will have enough common and uncommon wild cards to never need them again.
Yes, exactly. But it's the rares and the mythics that are hard ones. I think at first it's the rares, because the rares are the lands. That's why the rares at first are the most prominent. Once you have the mana base, though, it's the mythics that become the problem, because when you want to build a new deck, often you need 8 or you need 12 mythics in the deck, and they're way harder to get. They come slower. So once you burn all the ones you have, it gets more and more difficult. So I think if they were going to do this correctly, they would probably need to charge you for the price of a pack for a mythic wildcard, is my guess. They would probably need to charge you something in the range of $3 to $4 for a mythic wildcard.
That's why I was saying do packs instead of straight up a dollar for a or some amount of money for a wild card. So like $3, you get $3, you get two rares, three uncommons, five commons or whatever. It doesn't that number doesn't matter to me at all. And then one out of three packs gets you a mythic instead of one of the rares.
I think they couldn't make it that affordable. I think it would take away from the sale of packs too much.
So then one rare.
Yeah. I think realistically it would be like $4.99 would get you like three commons, two uncommons, and a rare. And sometimes that one of those other cards is a mythic or something. Say what?
It's more than a pack. I think $3.99 is like a normal.
Well, you don't get a wild card in every pack. A lot of packs you don't get a wild card.
Sure, but you're getting more cards.
Yeah, it's fair. I mean, I think there would have to be a balance that it was obviously you weren't just going to gain, because nobody would ever buy packs then. They can't erase.
But remember, the point is that these are for only cards that are not in Standard.
Okay. If you can't buy Standard cards with them, then I think that the cost can be a lot like what you're talking about. The thing is, they would still need to make it such that you would want to be burning through those packs to get your mythics, because otherwise I think people would get over it too fast. And from a business perspective,
so lower the mythic release, I guess. I don't even know if that's true though, because I think like if I can't get standard cards, they're printing standard cards at a power level that I'm going to need to open standard packs, right? Like that doesn't go away. So you'll have the same rate of return on standard players that you currently have. Because the historic players that want to play with standard cards, which they will, because stuff like Uro gets printed. Like right now, I couldn't get an Uro unless I got real wild cards. So unless they stopped printing powerful things into standard, which like I don't think is happening. Even if they pull way back on the power level, I don't think historic is going to be outweighted. I think that to me is what makes the most sense. And maybe you put a time limit also, like remastered sets, it's like 6 months. Like a set has to have been printed over a year ago or whatever, like however you want to figure it out. To me, it's the solution that I've heard that sounds the most tenable. And I'm not going to talk about what the price point should be or like how common a mythic should be. Maybe it's every three packs there's a mythic, or every five packs, or the same rarity right now that you would get a mythic is how often you get a mythic wild card in these wild card packs. But you're guaranteed to get the rares, and it just lets people buy in. I would drop a lot of money. I would drop like $40 a month at times just to like be able to make a cool historic deck when I thought about it.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely feel like that thing you're talking about, I burned myself out of historic that one night. That was kind of it. I was like, I had a really fun time. I got to mythic in historic. That was a cool thing. I'd wanted to do it. I made it to mythic with my deck, and I was grinding a lot, and then I got there and I was like, okay, so this cost me a pretty good amount of money, a lot of time. I don't have any wild cards now more than the ones to build this one deck. So I did. And now it was like, I don't really want to spend another $100 to be able to build comfortably and quickly the next deck that I want to build. I did a lot of this already.
And you no longer trust yourself.
Yeah.
Right. Like you've not only lost faith in the game, but you've lost faith in yourself because the risk is much higher. The risk to brewing in Arena is so much higher than it is in paper Magic. Even if on like the dollar basis, it isn't, like the negative is worse. Right. It's not necessarily, if I want to brew in Modern, no collection. Right. Like we're I guess like apples to apples. I don't have a collection in Modern. $500 because it's just for the land. Right. Maybe more.
Yeah.
But I own those cards now. I can sell them. I can get rid of them. I can do whatever I want with them. If I want to brew an historic, $200, right? Just that. So half the cost. But then that deck sucks. Most of that deck is just Aether. Can't sell it. Can't get my money back. Yes, I can maybe use the lands in another deck, but then I'm still on Arena and I have to spend another $100 to be able to get the wild cards for that deck. So it's like a sunk cost moment, and that sucks, and then I don't want to play Historic ever again. And maybe I don't want to play Arena. I know a lot of people that don't want to play Arena ever again.
There's also the other added part of this, which is that like it's not like the people that create Magic content aren't the people that play Magic. So then you end up in a situation where people like us, whose sole purpose is to enjoy ourselves playing Magic, and like we want to talk about our enjoyment of Magic, we'd end up doing an episode like this, not because we're trying to like bring down the system, but because it's a real conversation about, hey, man, was the last time you played a lot of Historic? I was like, it's been a few months probably, you know, since I really played a lot of Historic. And it's like, how come? This is the conversation why. And that's a tough thing. That's a tough thing for them to contend with, because I would rather be in the situation that we were in 3 months ago, where we were talking about how sick the decks we were playing were and how excited we were about them and how excited we were to build the next deck. That's what I would rather be doing on this episode. It's just, I don't want to go drop a bunch of money. I don't want to spend a bunch of money.
Right. No, I'd spend the money, right? Like that's the issue here isn't like I would drop, if they created these wildcard things, I would drop $40 to come up with a new deck that I knew was going to go away. It's a different mindset, I think. And the ability that like you're kind of locked out and you have to go through the whole pack opening thing and you might get cards you need. It feels a lot less good to come up with new cool stuff in Historic at the moment. And I think they need to fix it.
Agreed.
Also Banero. That's my mic.
Yeah,
as the end of it, just in every format, ban him. He's bad for everyone. Why does that cart do all the things that it does? And it's right up my alley. I want to put stuff in my graveyard and take it out of my graveyard and put it back into my graveyard and take it out of my graveyard and Ben, you know, make invalidate whatever strategy Ben is playing that involves 1/1 flyers that don't matter. Once I have a 6/6 in play that I can regurgitate. Uro was a card that was made for me And I'm mad at it and want it to go away. So definitely check out
my 2-1. My 2-1 flyers are never going to be good against Uro.
Check out the modern video we did last week. Did a Masters of Modern episode just about banning Uro. Check that out. It released on the YouTube channel. Also, if you're an audio listener, please check out the YouTube channel as well. And check out our Patreon. It's where we have like bonus content. There's a whole 15-minute episode at the beginning of this that we release only there in video form. Check that out. Make sure to like and subscribe. Hit that like and subscribe button. Hit it, the button. It's important.
And I said it on our last video as well. Like, subscribe, and the one thing that we really want to ask you guys to do, if you're watching this on YouTube right now, is that if you guys, as soon as you're done watching this or listening to this, even if you just want to do it right now, you just want to pause this and just go leave us a comment about the video. Comments really, really help these videos. They really do help them perform. They help them spike up in the standings. We don't want to use that A word because I think YouTube hears it. I think they make our videos do worse if we say it. But we'll just say it helps the videos perform better. And if you guys just want to leave a comment, it would really mean a lot to us because we are trying to grow this channel. And if you're listening this long, then I think you probably want to help us grow this channel as well. So we want to continue to bring you awesome content. Just leave a comment, anything you want. You could talk about this guitar, that hula hoop. It's not a hula hoop, it's a hoop. You could talk about any number of cool things. Yeah. It's an ice hoop. Mm-hmm. It's way better than a hula hoop. You can talk about Alex's shirt, anything you want. Just leave us a comment.
This is my jellyfish dance. I just want people to send me videos on Twitter of them doing their jellyfish dance, or pick your own sea creature. You got a crab? I did a crab car impression. Beep, 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 beep. That's my car crab impression. All right. So thank you, everyone. Thank you, patrons. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, followers. Thank you, all the people of the internet. And we will talk to y'all next week. Monday, because we release, or today, tonight. Make sure to check out live stream Commander on YouTube and on Twitch. Twitch.tv/CastWiley, YouTube.com/TheMMCast. We do live both places, and the video just exists here. So if you missed it, it's just here. It exists. Last week,
we had on ALK Alters.
Oh, yes. And Jay and Ellie, who did that, like the Commander Legends like book about all the different legendary creatures in it. He's like a big Vorthos guy, and ALK is a great altarist. So check out both of them and check out the video where we did a live stream with them. It's really cool. Thank you, everyone.
I played Twincast on my time stretch. It was epic.
It was bad for everyone. It was bad for me. It was bad for everyone. But I also, I won't tell you what I did in game one because it was dope. All right. Thank you, everyone. And we'll talk to y'all next week. Bye.
Bye, guys.
This has been a production of Time Traveler Media, sending podcasts into the future.